my soul, worship your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I will worship his holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Oh, my soul. Say it in the holy name. So bless you, man. I say, oh, my soul. Amen. God bless you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Blessed eternal Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, thou our King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Kinsman Redeemer, the Rock of Ages, thou who was, is, and is to come, we thank you this morning. We bless your holy name. We love you, Father, Lord. And there is a reason of being here this morning, because you first loved us. You gave your life unto us, O Father. You shed your life unto us at Calvary, that will be reconciled to you. Lord, we bless you. We worship you. We magnify your name. It is written in your word, where two or three are gathered in your name, that you will be among them. We thank you for your presence this morning. Oh Lord, we come this morning confessing our shortcoming, our sins and transgressions, Father. Things that we've done that we ought not to have done. Things that we listened to that we not ought not to have listened to. Things that we looked at, oh Father, we pray that you forgive us. May you wash it this morning by the washing of the water by the word. Oh, blessed Heavenly Father, may you, Lord, sprinkle our heart, our soul this morning with your blood, oh Father. May you take us out of the way. Come yourself, oh Lord. Take full control of our being. Yes. Anoint the lips that will be speaking, yes, and the ears that will be hearing, oh Lord. And take us all into that channel of inspiration this morning, oh Father, that we sit at your feet and draw strength from you, O God. We commit the pastor into your hand, but Elijah, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will touch him, O Father. Give him a special touch, O Lord. Thank you, Lord God, again. We bless and worship you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you this morning. Happy to be here again. And while we are standing, let's open our Bibles to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Read from verse 34. Mark chapter 8. Let's read from 33 to the end. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou servest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." And when he had called the people unto him, and with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's sake shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. And the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you this morning. Yesterday, brother, received a text from the pastor late in the night. If somebody could come here and call the brother Simon. So he asked me to be here this morning. So that is why we are here. Happy to see you again. The last time I was here, I think it was last year, that we thank God for your lives and our lives and what God is doing among us all. So God richly bless you. This morning, we want to speak on the stepping into your deliverance. I was reading the message, Ashamed. Okay, thank you. And I came to a quote of the prophets, and I got my inspiration from there. But then let me read that quote so that you know where I'm coming from. In a message, Ashamed, preached 1965, the prophet of God says this. He said, well, we all go, talking about Moses leaving Egypt with the children of Israel. He says, that is the reason a man or woman, sick or anything, once he comes into the presence of God and knows that God has healed them, you are stepping into the light of deliverance. You don't compromise on anything. I read it again. He said, let me back up a little bit. Said, we all go. Not even one hoof will be left behind. We will take our cattle and all. He wasn't ashamed. Why? He had come into the light of deliverance. Then he says, that is the reason a man or a woman, sick or anything, once comes into the presence of God and knows that God has healed them, you are stepping into the light of deliverance. You don't compromise on anything. So we are going to go into that direction this morning. So what we have just read was about the Lord Jesus Christ after feeding the crowd, going to the other side of the river or the lake, people were still following him. But when you read John chapter 12 or 6, those people were following him. They were not following him because of the word, but they were following him because of the bread that they ate. It was the bread that was attracting them. Instead of the word, which is the spiritual bread, but they were attracted by the physical bread. But then he told them that what? Labor not for bread that perisheth, but labor for the bread that is eternal, that can give you life eternal. So we see that here Jesus, Peter has said something. He told him, Peter, you care so much of the things of this world. And he said something, and Jesus said, well, he was rebuking Satan that inspired Peter to say that thing. Then after saying that, he called the crowd and the disciples together and was telling them that anybody who wants to follow me must deny himself and take his own cross. So anybody who wants to follow Christ, first of all, must come to self-denial. Self-denial is very, very important. Because before you step into anything, you must know what you are stepping into. If you are driving on a highway, maybe you have to make a decision in a split of a second. If you make a bad decision, you may end up into a crash. But here, Jesus is saying, if you want to follow me, you must first deny yourself. So it calls for what? Self-denial. He didn't only tell the disciples. He told both the crowd and the disciples. He called them together. He was giving them the prescription of following him. There must first be a self-denial. You must die to yourself. You must die to your own minds, to your own ideas. You must die completely to everything. Let's go to the Garden of Eden. When Cain and Abel had to bring sacrifices, Abel offered a sacrifice, and God was pleased with that. And Cain offered his sacrifice, what he had to. But the Lord told him, do as your brother has done. Now, what was the reason for God accepting Abel's sacrifice? Abel maybe had his own mind, but he chose the mind of God. What God told him to do, he had to sacrifice his own mind to take the mind of God. That is the revelation that was given to him. He must forgo his own mind, his own thoughts, and take the thought of God. And when he followed the thought of God, God was pleased with that sacrifice. Abel was accepted. What about Cain? He was rejected. Even God went far to give him the clue. Do as your brother has done. I said, no. We are all faced with the same situation today. And sometimes, we want to take our minds, our own self-will will only land us into trouble. When you take the mind of God, you follow the will of God, it can also lead you into trouble. But there, God is there to bring you out of that problem. There you can see that the solution is in the problem. When you go to school, those who do mathematics, when you are given a problem to solve, the solution is in that problem that has been given to you. So anytime you follow the word of God, you follow the will of God, and you find yourself into problem, God will be there to deliver you. Think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were all called. There were other Israelite children over there to bow before the statue. But they said, no, we will not. If we have to die, we are ready to die. It was a decision that they took. And that decision that they took landed them into what? The lion's den and the burning furnace. But what happened in the end? Was God there to deliver them? God was there to deliver them. So we will notice that when we follow the will of God, it will bring us deliverance. If we take Abraham, well, we'll talk about that later on. So, as we read from the Bible, here he says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his own cross and follow me. Each and every one of us sitting here this morning, we have our own crosses. Some have a smaller one, some have a bigger one. It depends in the position you are occupied in the body of Christ. When the prophet came, he had his own cross. But because of the position that he had as a messenger of the age, he went through a lot of things. He went through a lot of things. Remember, when he had to, when he went to those Pentecostal meetings and he received invitations to preach the gospel, and Midas, was it Mida? Sister Hope mother, calling the people out trash. What happened? It led to Jeffersonville being flooded with water. A lot of damage was done over there just because the prophet disobeyed. Because of his disobedience, there were innocent deaths. And the prophet had to learn a lesson from that. It happens to every one of us. Sometimes things will happen to your life. They happen for you to learn something from it. But sometimes, it's difficult to learn But if you are a child of God, God will bring you into obedience. If you look at, I don't know whether my pronunciation will be good. Is it a tortoise? Okay, taro. When it hung itself into in its carcass or its shell, if you want it to bring itself out, what do you do? Take fire. Bring it to its tail. You see that quickly the head will come out. If God wants to bring his children to obedience, he knows how to do it. He's a specialist of that. So Jesus was saying that if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself. You must abandon your own thoughts. You must abandon everything that you know of yourself. You must leave it behind and follow me. And when you follow me, then I will be teaching you. Listen to what the prophet of God says. The prophet of God, he says, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these things that you do, the miracles that you do, except God be with him. They know that was him, but for prejudice, selfishness, not ready to have self-denial, to renounce your own surroundings and accept him, yet they recognize that it was of God. But because of prejudice, he doesn't come from among us. It doesn't come from our denomination. We will not receive him. We will not accept him. But God is calling for self-denial. God is calling you to do what? To come out of your surroundings. To come out of the environment you have created for yourself. To come out of the atmosphere that you have created for yourself. He wants you to come into his atmosphere. He wants you to come into his presence. Then things around you will change. Self-denial. He continues. He says, did you notice Abel, when he offered the more excellent sacrifice, in which God testified that he was righteous? Abel slew his lamb on the rock, and Abel died on the same rock with his lamb. And every believer that comes to Christ must come the same cross of self-denial and die there with the lamb. With the lamb he must die with. Die out to your own thoughts. Die out to your own mental thinking. Just take what the Holy Spirit says in your hearts. Then live for Christ. Think about that. Abel, he died with his lamb. He forsook his own mind. He forsook his own thoughts. And he chose to take the thought of God. And he was judged what? A righteous. Think about it. Do we want to do our own will or forsake our will and do the will of God? He made a promise. I will not leave you nor forsake you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask anything, it shall be given unto you. Because if you abide in him and he abides in you, you will always love to do his will. Because you will be led by the Spirit. Because the Spirit follows the word. Think about it. There are so many Christians today who want to go their own way, especially when it comes to marriage. You see them, they go to the pastor will talk to them. And when they leave the pastor, they will go and do different things. When they find themselves into trouble, then they come back. What do you want the pastor to do? What do you want the pastor to do? He has given you the advice at the best of his knowledge according to the scriptures. But when you leave, you go and do a different thing. But this message has come, has brought you the full, perfect will of God. And when you walk in that will of God, sometimes you find yourself into trouble, but God is there to deliver you. God is there to bring you out of it. But Abraham was talking about the pleasant family. I hope you know them. Naomi and Elimelech. When they were leaving Israel, the prophet said they didn't know what they were doing. They were just following the leading of the Spirit. He says, did you ever notice? And her going away, perhaps, not knowing then, a righteous woman, righteous man, going away, not knowing what they were doing. You know, many times we have to walk the way we feel led to walk, regardless of what the outcome of it will be. That is right. When Naomi and Elimelech were leaving Israel with their children, going to Moab because of the Oz famine in Israel. While they were leaving Egypt, Israel, they didn't know what they were doing. It was at the end of the drama that we knew that what? They were there just for who? Ruth. But while they were going, many people must have criticized them. They themselves didn't know what they were doing. But at the end of it all, we could know that what? They went in there just for Ruth. Just for Ruth to come into Israel and marry who? Boaz. Think about it. Maybe you've been driving to work and you are used to maybe one route. And one morning again, You're going to work. And you feel, I don't feel like taking this road today. Let me go this way. And when you get home to work, maybe some colleague also usually pass that way. And you get to work at 8:30. And he comes 2 hours later. Going through the usual route. And he finds you at work. Oh, where did you come? Oh, I came at usual, 8:30. What happened to you? Oh, there was a heavy crash over there. You don't know. It could have been you. But that strange feeling that you had, it was God speaking to you. Spiritual people, they discern everything by the word of God. Everything, because the world discerns things. If you follow the leading of the Spirit, sometimes, as I said, you may have trouble, but God is there to deliver you from it. What am I saying? Stepping into our deliverance. When we look at the life of Abraham, when God called him at the age of 75 and Sarah 65, they had no children. God spoke to him and gave him the promise. Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. Abraham left his family, his city, his kindred, everybody. He left everything. He forsook everything and left. And as they were going, he took his nephew Lot and his father. But God never spoke to him while those people were with him. Along the way, his daddy died. And further along the road, he had to get separated with Lot. And the day he separated with Lot, God appeared unto him. God spoke unto him. And as Abraham was following the leading of the Spirit, God was blessing him. But notice something. Abraham, they didn't have children. They were past bearing. But at every stage of the road, Abraham took God at his word. He took God at his word. And as he believed God, as he took God at his word, what was he doing? He was stepping into his deliverance. Until one day, he received Elohim. He received God that gave him the promise. Remember, at every stage, he took God at his word. And finally, Elohim visited him. And after Elohim visited him, he left and told, before leaving, he told him, Abraham, by the time I come back next year, this time, your wife Sarah will bring forth. He received Elohim. And the last sign that he received was what? The discernment of the heart. And after Elohim left, what happened? Abraham stepped fully into what? The body change. He stepped fully into his body change. He and Sarah. And what happened? The promised son. Isaac came on the scene. So at every step of his life, Abraham took God at his word. And as he took God at his word, walking day after day, he was stepping into the promise. Until finally, he received Elohim. And that brought what? The body change. And the promised son. Think about it. Full obedience to the word entitles you to the token. Let's take Moses. I will say Moses 1 and Moses 2. Moses 1 was before he met the pillar of fire. In Egypt, he killed somebody. He knew he was the deliverer. But he went ahead of God. He killed somebody. And he had to flee Egypt. That is Moses 1. And while he was there, he became a shepherd boy. For 40 years, he was a shepherd boy. Until one day, he went again. He met the burning bush. A voice came out of him, spoke to him. He spoke back to the voice. The voice responded. I'm sending you to Egypt to go and deliver my people. In spite of the Moses' defects, I cannot speak, I'm not eloquent, but God has chosen that. Moses saw himself unworthy, unfit. But God said, yes, I know, but I'm sending you there. When God has a purpose for you, that purpose can never be defeated. God's purpose in your life is irrevocable. It's irrevocable. No matter what happens, you can go through many things. God's purpose for your life is irreversible. Moses found himself over there, but yet God's eye was on him. Now Moses too, that is after meeting the angel of God. Moses too is now going to where? Egypt, with a shepherd's staff. Moses, what are you going to do? I'm going to deliver God's people. Remember, Egypt was a superpower at that time, like the US at that time. Going to deliver your God's children with that staff? That is what he told me. Moses was not afraid. He went to Egypt and appeared before Pharaoh and told him what I am has told him. Remember Moses too. The difference was that what he had an experience. The difference was that he met a pillar of fire. And the prophet says somewhere that a pillar of fire entered Moses. So it wasn't Moses the flesh going there. It was God veiled in the flesh going into Egypt to deliver his people, to fulfill scripture. And when he got there, he went to Pharaoh, told him, I am, says you let my people go. Who is I am? I don't know of any I am. We are going to worship. 3 days journey. Moses was not afraid. He was not ashamed of the commission that God has given him. He was not ashamed. He was not afraid. Let me read something from St. Mercy. Brother Branham says something which is very astounding. Prophet of God, in the message Ashamed, page 18, the Voice of God prints. Prophet of God says this. He said, whosoever is ashamed of me and of my word, he and his word are one. He and his word are one. He says, so being ashamed of his word in this sinful present generation, I'll be ashamed of him. Can I get a tissue? Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. Thank you. That's fine. When you are ashamed, what does it mean? Is to be embarrassed of something. To be embarrassed. So if I'm embarrassed by the gospel, he said, I'll also be embarrassed that day when I shall come, when the Son of Man shall come with his holy angels. So Moses was not embarrassed at all of his commission. He was not afraid, for he knew who he has believed. The prophet says, how we notice today, if somebody says, are you a Christian? It's very much a popular thing. Say, oh, I'm a Christian, see? But do you believe the word of God? Where it says, this sign shall follow them that believe. Oh, even ministers' faces will blush. See, are you ashamed of saying of divine healing? Are you ashamed of the full gospel? Are you ashamed of your Pentecostal experience? That is being ashamed of his word. That is his word made flesh in you. So today when you ask me, are you a Christian? I'm a Methodist. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Catholic. They are ashamed of saying, yes, I'm a Christian. Because if you are a Christian, it's Christ in you. It's the word of God made flesh in you as an individual. And if that word is made flesh in you, are you a Christian? Yes, I am. You'll not be ashamed to declare that. He said, are you ashamed? He says, so his word has to live itself out for every generation. So Moses at that time, he was the word that was made flesh. Moses was his Christ of his day. Because he was a portion of the promise for that day. And the Lord said, I'll come down myself with a mighty hand and deliver you. The promise was made to Abraham. Your people will sojourn in a country, and I'll come down myself with a mighty hand and deliver him. God always dwells in man. That is his abode. We were preaching something the other time. The natural bearing the supernatural. God is a supernatural being. And he dwells in man. Man is God's agent. He uses man to accomplish his purposes. Here we see Moses going. But it was God in Moses going to Egypt to deliver his children. The prophet says this. So his word has to live out for every generation. In this generation, we've seen the word live out for itself. The word of God is living itself in the bride. Then he says, talking about a prophet, he says, he lived itself in the days of Moses, because in that day, it lived itself. I'm repeating myself. He says, the Bible said in Hebrew first chapter, God in sundry times and in diverse manners spake to the fathers by who? Prophets. Then he continues to say this, what I want to come to. He says, and those prophets, follow me carefully, the church got also twisted up. Those prophets, those what? Daring messengers of God. He's talking about a prophet. He said, those daring messengers of God. You are English people. When you say daring, what does it mean? Courageous. Intrepid. Fearless. That was the nature of those prophets. They were not afraid of anything. They were not ashamed of their commissions. The prophet of God says, those daring messengers of God, they come without church, without interdenominations, without organization, and everything. When the priests, they come without organizations, without anything. He said they defied kings, kingdoms, churches, and everything. When the priest was brought, or they were brought before the priests, what happened? They wasn't ashamed, because they had directly, thus said the Lord. So Moses was what? A daring messenger of God. Going to Egypt to do what? To deliver the children of God. Now when Moses accepted a commission or obeyed a commission, what was he doing? He was stepping into deliverance with all the children of Israel. Because the word of God came to him. He received the word of God. Now he goes to Egypt. Moses was standing for the children of Israel. And together, they were to enter into what? Their deliverance. Remember, they were promised that what? They will be delivered from Egypt. From bondage. And the prophet continued to say this. And those, he says, if you notice, the prophets, in one sense of the word, in the Old Testament, when he said, thus says the Lord, now watch him. He goes right into what? The phase of taking the place of God. When he said, thus says the Lord, it is God speaking. They take the place of God. It is no more they, but it is God speaking through them. He said, if you notice the prophet, in one sense of the word, said, now watch. He said, in the Old Testament, when he said, thus says the Lord, now watch him. He goes right into the phrase of taking the place of God. You notice when he plays out before him, thus says the Lord, he fell right into God. And he acted as God. Then he gave his message, which was God speaking through him. Thus says the Lord. I think of the prophet of old. When they come with a message and said, he said, it embarrassed the kings and it made the people feel what? Uncomfortable. Did a prophet of this age make people embarrassed? Did he make the people uncomfortable? Think about it. The Chicago ministerial meeting, when they came to challenge him. And when he defied them, let anyone among you come, take his Bible, and stand by my right here. They really felt uncomfortable. They were embarrassed. Why? A prophet was standing there. And when Moses went before Pharaoh, he went boldly. He was not afraid. He was not ashamed. Pharaoh said, what? You leave the children and your wives and you go alone. Moses said, no. We are not even leaving a hoof. We are going with everything. We are going with everything. Our wives, our children, our cattle, everything. We are going. When Pharaoh was resisting, what happened? Plague started hitting Egypt. Until finally he said what? Go! And pray for me too. Now he's asking for prayer. Think about it. The word of God emboldens the Christian. The Spirit of God emboldens the Christian. Think of Peter and his friends. After they received the Holy Ghost, and they did some miracles, and they caught them, whipped them, and loved them. The following day, they went again. Again and again and again. And the whole Jerusalem was on fire. What was it? It was God on the scene. It wasn't man. It was God in man fulfilling his own promises. Now Moses now, before they left, he called the children of Israel to do what they had to do. The Paschal lamb that was killed. And after that, what happened? They were now all marching to the promised land. When they go to the Red Sea, Moses was afraid. But God came on the scene. Moses, why criest thou? Speak and move forward. He spoke the word. He prophesied. The Egyptians that you see today, you shall see them no more. You just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In other words, stand still and see the deliverance that God will operate. They went through the Red Sea. What was that? They were stepping into their deliverance. Because they have believed the prophet. They have followed the prophet. And they step into their deliverance. And at the other side, when Pharaoh and his army were trying to cross, they were all destroyed. And on the other side, the children of Israel, they had stepped into their deliverance. And what happened? There was a jubilee. They were singing praises of God. They stepped into their deliverance. Think about it. Stepping into your deliverance. You come to church. The word of God is being preached. All that you need to do is to believe. Lord, I receive your word. Is to confess positive. Because when you are confessing positive, you are stepping into your deliverance. It might not come immediately, but as you believe, as you still you continue confessing, one day you see that your deliverance come into being. Think about, was it John Ryan, the blind man, that the prophet prayed for? He went and came back to the prophet. The prophet said, what? Do you believe what I said? He said, yes. You just go confessing. By his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. And while he was selling his newspapers, special edition, I'm healed. I'm healed. And one day, what happened when he went to the barber shop? What happened? He stepped fully into his deliverance. Think about that. The more you confess, your body will be brought into what you confess, under what you confess. The Bible says what? With the heart we believe, and by the mouth we confess. So when you believe, you got to confess it. Confess it! And as you confess it, you see that your deliverance will come into perfection. Think about it. Let's take Joshua and Caleb. They went as spies with the other 10 to the promised land. Moses sent them. And they came back. Meanwhile, they saw the evidence. They brought some of the fruit. They brought the evidence that the land was there. And when they came, 10 came with a bad report. But what did Joshua and Caleb say? We are more than able. They shouted them down. Shut up! We are more than able. What were they doing? They are confessing positive. And finally, Joshua and Caleb, they step into the promised land. That is how we must believe today. That is the way we believe. Brother Branham, in this message, says this. He says, sometime I like to read from the sermon book. He says, talking about Elijah. Elijah, God trained him at the back of the desert. He was in the mountains of Gilead. He wasn't known of anybody. But one day, he came on the scene. If you read 1 Kings chapter 17, one day he went to Ahab the king and stood before him, spoke to him the message that God had for him. Let's go there. 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. If you get it, you can read it. The first three verses. Anybody who finds it. See, he said, there will be no dew nor rain according to my word. He stood before Ahab and told him, according to my word, there will be no dew nor rain. Who was Elijah? To stand before that great king with those statements. Something might have been in him. He was not afraid. He was not ashamed. And after that, where did he go? God has prepared a cave for him. He went there. And lived there about 2.5 years in the cave. And God was feeding him through what? Ravens. Bring him in food morning and evening. And that cave was by the river Brook Cherith. After eating, he would go and drink at the river. Think about that. Because he wanted to do what? Bring Israel out of deliverance. Because they were worshiping Baal, which God did not like. But Jezebel was not happy. Little did Jezebel know that Elijah was her pastor. Yes, Elijah was her pastor. And looking at all that they were doing, told them, the dogs shall lick your blood. He was not afraid of Jezebel. When a prophet comes on the scene, you better listen to him. You better obey his word. All that we are seeing in the world today, did the prophet speak of these things? He did. The Berlin Wall and many things happening, the prophet of God spoke about it. He came with "Thus says the Lord." Think about it. The prophet says, talking about Elijah, he said, that old fuzzy-faced, gray-haired, whiskers, bald-headed, skinny arms, 80-year-old Elijah, sitting up there in the wilderness, 80 years old. Elijah sitting up, okay, in the wilderness, looking out upon the sins of the people. God spoke to him one morning and said, go down there and tell Ahab that not even the dew will fall from heaven till you call for it. I can see his little old eyes looking out from under that fuzzy looking white beard, that stick in his hand, walking in the presence of the king, and said, not even dew will come from heaven till I call for it. He wasn't ashamed of God or his word. Tell a king or anybody else, he wasn't ashamed. Didn't have to hide any. Now Ahab, you will be, he didn't finish. He said, it puts me in mind of something like ourselves. Then I read, then I said to the people, I'm getting to a spot. I need more faith. That is what I am home for now, is to get what? A new burnt of faith. Brother, I'm reading about Elijah. He said, Lord, this is why I'm home now, to get a new bunch of faith. It puts us all in that situation. When we see things going around us and looking at the condition of time, we need to take time, go and hide ourselves somewhere. Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith. I want to step into my deliverance. Increase my faith. That is what we need to be doing. But work sometimes take our time. Work, 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 and work. Why? We want a better retirement. It's true. Excuse me to say this. If you see an American working 7/7, he's thinking of his retirement. Excuse me to say that, but it's the truth. he's thinking of his retirement. After retirement, travel here, travel there, go to Aruba, go to, oh yeah. They want to have good time. But our good time should be in the Word of God. Our good time should be in the presence of God. Think about it. Stepping into your deliverance. Brother Branham said what? Moses. Deliverance was in his heart. When you have deliverance in your heart, then you can give deliverance to somebody. Moses was going there with deliverance in his heart to offer to his brethren and sisters deliverance, stepping into our deliverance. In this end time, a message has come. And this message has come to give us faith that when we receive this message, the more we confess the positive as we go, we are stepping into our deliverance. What is our deliverance? The rapture. What is our deliverance? The body change. Remember, Abraham received Elohim. He received the last sign. He stepped into his deliverance. In this end time, the same thing has happened. What has happened? We have seen the last sign again. And when you see that last sign, what we need to be doing is to confess the positive. Lord, increase my faith. You promised the rapture. It's for me. You promised the body change. It's for me. And as you're confessing it, you are working towards that. As you confess it, you are preparing towards that. And one of these mornings, what will happen? You'll see the body change. The body change is for you. The body change is for me. So we have to work towards that. To step into that body change. To step into that rapture. That is our promise of this age. Think about Enoch. But Abraham said, he somehow believed in God. Enoch. And one day he was just walking, strolling. By the time he realized, he stepped into the supernatural. He was just climbing the supernatural steps. And it took him home. He was no more. What about us today? Many things are happening around us. We don't want to give ourselves up to Him. We don't want to deny ourselves. Sometimes you need to deny some sleep and pray the whole night or read the whole night. Listen to the prophet the whole night. And when you deny some sleep, you forgo some sleep, it's going to pay off. It is an opportunity cost. Yeah, it is an opportunity cost. You have to go something, forgo something, in order to get something. See, Jesus was saying that, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There is nothing in this world that you can give in exchange for your soul. The prophet said what? A soul is worth what? thousands of worlds. What can you give in exchange for your soul? There is nothing. For you to exchange something to get something, they must be of the same value. They must be of the same value. Then the exchange could be possible. But here, what can you give in exchange for your soul? There is nothing. They can gather all the billionaires of this world. Their money, their assets, is not worth your soul. What can you give in exchange for your soul? There is nothing. Absolutely nothing. What we need to do is to get down to business. God, He wants your body. God, He wants you. In closing, let me read something from Revelation Book of Symbols. Brother Branham there, before he closed the service, he said this. He said, God, let every man and woman, boy or girl, search their hearts at this time. Not them, but let the Holy Spirit search them. And they will make up in their hearts. Yes, I believe I've been wrong. I really have never got to do that place yet. To where all these things has passed away. Now, say now, Father, I accept you just now to be my help while you are knocking at my heart. You are still calling me, or you wouldn't be talking to me like this. And may they raise up their hands, not to me, but to you. And by doing so, say, from this day henceforth, Lord, I am taking myself up to the river of self-denial. Is anybody here this morning want to take himself to the river of self-denial? Then he said, I am taking myself up to the river of death. There I am plunging beneath to lose every stain that is wrong with me. All my habits and uncleanliness, tempers, and all these things, I must plunge them right beneath the flood. Then when I come up, I want to feel like the gospel said, that I should be clean, ready with a pure heart, real love for my fellow man. No matter how cruel they are, I still love them. I want to enter into a fellowship with thee till I feel to my enemies like you do. I want to know it, Lord. For we can't play with it now. It's too late. We might be gone after today. We might be gone after 5 minutes from now. We will never have another chance. And God, let men and women think of this solemn sitting in this little church today. For we ask it in Christ's name. Is anybody here this morning that want to go to the river of self-denial? Deny yourself completely and accept the will of God. Accept the mind of God. Accept the thought of God and follow Him. You might be gone after 5 minutes. Remember last week, that Boeing crash. All the 150-something passengers went like that. When they were boarding the plane, they didn't know that anything like that was going to happen. It just happened like that. It could happen to any one of us. Let's stand on our feet. You want to step into your deliverance this morning. And the song leader gives us a song.
To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like Him. Up through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only have to be lying into
like
Jesus,
to be like Jesus, on earth I be,
yes,
to be like Him, all through life's journey. From earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him.
We want to be like Him. We want all to pray this morning and ask the Lord to help us to confess positive, in order to enter, to step into our deliverance. Maybe you are sick this morning. Maybe you have been haunted by spirits. But this morning, you are in His presence. Why don't you talk to Him? Why don't you speak to Him? Lord, this morning, here I am. I come. I want to come to the river of self-denial. Deny myself. Take up my cross and follow You. Let us all pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank You this morning for Your grace, Your mercy, Your goodness, O Father. Speaking to us, Lord, We thank you, Lord God, for the prophet that you have sent. Lord, with a message, Lord God, for our deliverance, for a message, O Father, to prepare us, O Lord, to be able to fully step into our deliverance, O Father. Here I come this morning, O God. I pray, O Father, that you help me, O Father, Lord. Lord, to deny myself completely, Lord, in order to follow you. O blessed Heavenly Father, I pray for total deliverance for myself. I pray for total deliverance for your children. I pray, Lord God, that you help each and everyone. May you reveal yourself to each and everyone, O Lord, that as we move along this journey, we will always confess positive. Lord, O my God, that we will step into our deliverance. We thank you, Lord. At this time, we remember the pastor, Lord, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, O Father, that you will touch him, O Father. Give him a special touch. Heal him, deliver him, O Father. Pray for as many that are sick among us this morning, Lord. O blessed Heavenly Father, may you stretch your healing hand and touch it and everyone, O Father. Lord, we thank you. We bless and worship you, Lord. Thank you for everything. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, on the final, to be like all through life journey.
I am.